Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. Tonight, gay and lesbian choral music. Where is it now after nearly 37 years? And specifically, we're going to be talking about Passion, the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus Spring Concert, April 1st and 2nd, next Wednesday and Thursday. The Oakland East Bay Gay Men's Chorus and the Lesbian and Gay Chorus of San Francisco also both have concerts coming up April 18th and 19th. The San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus started in 1978. Its first public performance was unplanned, rallying on the steps of City Hall to mourn the assassinations of San Francisco Mayor George Moscone and the city's first gay supervisor, Harvey Milk, that morning. 3 years later, in 1981, the chorus made its first national tour, inspiring the formation of many gay and lesbian choruses across the USA. Today, there are hundreds of gay, lesbian, transgender, and mixed choruses across the land and more in other nations. In the early years, these choruses provided cultural and political voice and safe social connections for LGBT people that were otherwise hard to find, especially in smaller cities and towns far away from the two coasts. Now, with LGBT people largely accepted in most of America, especially in big cities and in the Bay Area, what purpose do these choruses serve and how have they changed? The SF Gay Men's Chorus Spring Concert Passion gives a hint. The program consists of a San Francisco premiere and two world premieres, For a Look or a Touch, a choral opera about persecution of gays in the Holocaust, My Friend, My Lover, 5 Walt Whitman songs, and hashtag Twitter Leader, 15 acts and 3 tweets chronicling an entire life through songs of 140 characters or less. With me live in the studio to talk about LGBT choral music today and their spring concerts are representatives of the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, the granddaddy of the LGBT choral movement, and one of them also represents the Oakland East Bay Gay Men's Chorus. We'll hear some of their music, too. My guests are Timothy Selig, conductor and artistic director of the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus. Welcome, Tim.
Good evening.
Carl Pantel, conductor of the Oakland East Bay Gay Men's Chorus and also the SF Gay Men's Chorus main accompanist. Welcome, Carl.
Thank you.
San Francisco Opera Adler Fellow Baritone Hadley Adams. Welcome, Hadley.
G'day.
And Kip Niven, who is an actor. And tell us... okay, see, I told you I was going to blow this. I'm blaming Microsoft because my computer crashed this week, and I had to get used to Windows 8.1. Ugh. So, Kip Niven. Kip and Hadley have both performed in outreach performances of For a Look and a Touch. Welcome, Kip.
Thanks. Nice to be here, I think.
You think. Yeah, it's going to be a bumpy night. So let's start with For a Look or a Touch. What's the story about, Tim?
Well, that's a great question. This is a true story of two young men during the Holocaust, and one was murdered in the camps and one was not. And the one that survived many, many years later or through the years wrote a diary about his experiences, not only during the Holocaust, but what the 60 years that ensued were for him. So the story is actually told, some of this is told in a documentary called Paragraph 175. So the ghost of the one who was murdered in the camps comes back to visit the other one. And so the love story is the entire opera is the two of them, Kip being the actor, Hadley playing the young man, the singer, and the chorus with orchestra. And it is a love story of them telling about how deeply they were in love and the one who survived, how difficult it was. But the whole the through line is remember our love, remember how it was, and can we rekindle that? It's beautiful.
So, and how did this come to be? This is a collaboration with the
it
opera.
Is. It is. This is a these performances are a collaboration with ACT, the San Francisco Opera, and the Contemporary Jewish Museum next week. This was given its world premiere in Seattle. So, Music of Remembrance actually commissioned Jake to write this for actor, baritone, and chamber orchestra. And then the Seattle Men's Chorus commissioned Jake to broaden it out to include men's chorus. And that world premiere was 4 years ago. And we've been trying to get it here ever since.
Okay, so let's hear a little bit of it. What we're going to hear first is 100,000 Stars. Tell us about this song and set it up for a little bit. Where this recording is from?
So this recording, we actually were privileged 4 years ago to be able to sing this one piece prior to the world premiere. Jake allowed us to do that. And so what you're going to hear are two chorus members and some of the chorus. It happens about right in the middle, about one-third of the way through the opera, when Kip talks about the people that were lost one by one, like stars being extinguished. And that's 100,000 stars. That is the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus from a recording 4 years ago of For a Look or a Touch. Timothy, tell us about that. Timothy Selig, artistic director of the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus. Tell us a little bit more about that piece. Well, that piece it happens about two-thirds of the way through. And in this version of the opera, it is strictly chorus. No soloists, just the chorus. And 4 years ago, when I first arrived, I asked Jake if he had a piece that we could sing. And he said, well, why don't you sing this excerpt from For a Look or a Touch? So we didn't do the whole opera 4 years ago. We're doing it, obviously, next week.
So you've also had some preview performances at schools and other community outreach events. Tell us about those performances and some of the reactions you've received.
We had two really great ones this week. Let's divide those up. Let's let Kip and what's your name?
Bradley?
Bradley.
I forget.
The one that said, good day. Good day. Why don't each of you tell a little bit about each of those, whichever one you want to do.
Do you want to school? Do you want to take that?
Sure. We were at the John Logan School in Union City. And
this is this past Monday?
This past Monday. Mm-hmm. And there were 500 high school students there who probably didn't know what they were getting in for, but they had been studying the Holocaust, specifically how the homosexuals were treated during the Holocaust. And they couldn't have been more attentive and more thoughtful in their questions afterwards. It was just a wonderful experience that they were ready to hear what they needed to hear when we were there to tell it to them, I think. And it was a wonderful experience on both sides, I hope, of the curtain, because it was great for us, I know. Hadley also sang, and we had a wonderful question and answer session afterwards.
What kind of questions do the kids ask?
Well, okay, I'll butt in.
Kip
won't want to tell
excited.
This. It was so cute. So they've been studying the Holocaust and human behavior. That's the name of this curriculum that's been set forth by Facing History and Ourselves. And high schools all over the Bay Area have been studying this. So but they specifically had called it persecution of homosexuals during the Holocaust. So a little girl, after we finished in the QA, she raised her hand with all of her peers there, and she said, "So how many of you on this stage are homosexuals?" And we just died. And I said, "Oh, my gosh, I can't believe for 1 minute you thought I was straight. I cannot wait to tell my husband." So it was great. And they were completely open. They were they received us so beautifully. Mm-hmm. It was really great. So we did have another one. That was Monday. We have one on Tuesday.
Tuesday we were at Grace Cathedral, which was an amazing chance to really get the piece out into the public. It was the first time that Kip and I had actually performed with the gay, about a fifth of the gay men's chorus. There were about 50 of us, 50 of the chorus there that night. It was a beautiful experience. It was fantastic. The evening started off with Kip and Tim discussing briefly about the piece, and then we went to two short videos. One has Gad, who was the lover in the story who survived, talking about the last time he saw Manfred, which is my character. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's all based on real events. And the last time he saw me and the last conversation they had, and that they never said goodbye. And what Gad says in this documentary, he says, "And it was then that I knew that something was forever broken."
Mm.
And that segues into another camp survivor talking about Der Singende Wald, or the singing trees, which was a terrible method of torture and pain to end a prisoner's life. And this survivor speaks so intently and with such incredible silent energy, this horrible tale. And then we move from there into the prelude and into the opera. And we did the same opening at the high school. And the kids, as well as the audience at Grace Cathedral, were stone silent. No one moved mm-hmm. an inch. There was no fidgeting. Straight from that into the prelude of this amazing work, which has a truly incredible story to tell, one which is as relevant today as it was then.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. My guests, we just heard from baritone Hadley Adams. Also, we have actor Kip Niven here, and the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus conductor and artistic director, Timothy Selig, and Carl Pantel of the Oakland East Bay Gay Men's Chorus. You can hear this fantastic piece they've been talking about next Wednesday and Thursday, April 1st and 2nd, at Davies Symphony Hall. And there's the information about that concert is online at sfgmc.org, San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, sfgmc.org. There's also a link on our site, outinthebay.org. And this Sunday, there's another public outreach performance.
There
Tell
is.
Us about that one.
We are really excited about this Sunday. So certainly we want all of your listeners to come next week to Davies. But if they can't, or if they want even more, this Sunday at 3 o'clock, we'll be doing the same excerpts that we did at Grace Cathedral at the Contemporary Jewish Museum. And we are thrilled that they invited us to come there and do this to really highlight the persecution of homosexuals in the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
It's at 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock this Sunday afternoon. And we have another piece to play, which will be performed next week, but it's not part of this.
No, it's a bit of a story, but as your listeners probably know, we've been creating a lot of music for our chorus and certainly for our audience. A year ago, I was here, we were talking about Tyler's Suite, and that is a large work we commissioned on the story of Tyler Clementi, the young man who jumped to his death, the Rutgers student. And in that,
after being bullied by classmates.
Sorry, the
cyberbullying.
Yeah. Right. And so there were 9 movements, and one of those movements was composed by Jake Hagee, as luck would have it for us. And it was called The Narrow Bridge. And it's actually the finale to Tyler's Suite. And as I learned fairly recently, this is an allegory that Jewish faith, people of faith, use around the world, and that is the visual of a narrow bridge. And if the bridge is too narrow, then we cannot walk it alone. But if the bridge is not too narrow and we walk it together, we will make it to the other side. So this is the text that Jake set by Pamela Tomlinson called The Narrow Bridge. And so what we're going to do is, after For a Look or a Touch, The Narrow Bridge will be the encore. And I guess now everybody knows it's not a surprise.
Yeah, it's not a surprise.
So I hope we get an encore.
But it'll be a little, we can at least hope that there's a little bit of a...
I will clap until...
really loud.
So there
will
be
a little
encore.
Bit of uplift
people
after
that,
this very
correct.
Heavy piece
correct.
That we were hearing before yeah. that. So let's hear, now we're starting about 3 minutes in when the chorus begins to sing, The Narrow Bridge. That's The Narrow Bridge, performed by the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus in 2014, the spring concert last year, Tyler's Suite, which celebrated the life of Tyler Clementi, who ended his life after bullying. So how has gay and lesbian choral music changed over the years, I want to ask our guests? You know, as initially, we started this conversation talking about the initial formation being, you know, well, what was the response to it? There was so much going on in the 1970s.
The beginning response was girls just want to have fun. That was basically it, even though that song wasn't out yet. Gay pride parades had begun, and so this chorus actually began because the conductor of the Gay and Lesbian Freedom Band, John Sims, thought, well, if there are people out there playing in the gay bands, surely there are people that sing. So they put up flyers, and lo and behold, there was a desire for gay men to gather and sing. And so then, as you said, the chorus, the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, was the first chorus on the planet to self-identify as gay or lesbian, bisexual, transgendered. So they really planted the seed for others, and it happened very quickly, actually, that it began to spring up in larger towns and now in many, many smaller towns. Needless to say, the journey has been very interesting, not always easy with the mid-early and mid-80s, especially with the onset of AIDS. These choruses, all of the choruses, began to sing for memorial services, began to be places where people would gather who needed health care and needed a family. And so as we have transitioned out of that, the choruses have really turned to social justice. But the really fascinating thing is that we keep adding choruses and we are not losing choruses. So you're opening about where is the place for gay and lesbian choruses. Obviously, there is still a need, a desire. We have a lot of straight choruses looking over the fence going, how is it that you're filling halls and that your numbers are still rising? How is that possible? And part of it is because we make really great music. We really touch our audience, sometimes more than other straight choral organizations. And because we do programming like we're doing next week, like Oakland East Bay will be doing, that really speaks to what people like to hear. So they want to hear it live. And they love to come here, and we also are ridiculously entertaining.
Yeah, especially with the choralography that
and we have
Gay
a little
Men's Chorus
that.
Is famous for. So Carl Pantel from the Oakland East Bay Gay Men's Chorus, specifically their artistic director and conductor, tell us about the concert you're having there, but also tell us a little bit about the size of this chorus and how it's different, not just in size, but how it's different from the SF Gay Men's Chorus otherwise.
Absolutely. We have about 42 members, singing members right now, and we're going to be performing a concert called From Stage and Screen, and it's all Broadway music. The first half, it's music from musicals that became movies, and then the second half is music from musicals that whose stories were taken from movies, like Kinky Boots was originally a film, and then they made it into a musical. So there's quite a few of those numbers that we're going to be doing. As far as the size of the chorus, it certainly is smaller than San Francisco.
SF Gay Men's Chorus has about 300 active members. You're going to have 250 or more on stage next week.
Yeah, that's an
idea of the size. I mean, and you're filling Davies Symphony Hall, which was a challenge many years ago, but now two nights in a row.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead,
no,
Carl.
No, that's fine. we do quite a bit of outreach in the community, and originally, you know, the chorus. The Oakland East Bay Chorus formed in 1999, and I think they wanted to serve the community that was on the other side of the bay. Mm-hmm. And there were, at that time, there were a lot of people that were moving from San Francisco, you know, starting families and you know, going to that part of the bay, and they wanted to have a chorus that also served those communities. And we do a lot of outreach at schools and crab feeds and, you know, all kinds of things.
Tell
just
us,
to
I'm sorry, go ahead. Tell us where this show is going to be.
It's going to be at Laney College, which is just off the Lake Merritt BART station. We're doing it on the 18th of April at 7 p.m. and the 19th of April at 4 p.m.
Okay, we will have a link on our website, but if you want to go to the Oakland East Bay Game and Scores website, it's oebgmc.org. Now, Kip Nevins, just a minute ago, you were talking about how some of these smaller courses all over the country, small ones and large ones, are sharing music, and they're sort of growing off of each other, feeding off of each other in some ways.
Well, this piece, For Liquor a Touch, originated in Seattle, as Tim said. I became introduced to it with the Heartland Men's Chorus in Kansas City. Then I went back to Seattle last summer to do it again, and it then toured to Germany, to four different cities in Germany on a 10-day tour. And the choral director of the Kansas City Chorus is now, at the time that I was involved, is now the choral director for the L.A. Gay Men's Chorus. And Tim came here from another chorus in Fort Worth. So the way that the material is commissioned by various choruses, I assume particularly the larger choruses, but then it's shared and it lives in the larger LGBT communities of choruses. Once everybody hears about a good piece, they eagerly seek it out and give it life in other cities.
Okay.
A friend of mine from Kansas City is now the director of the Boise Gay Men's Chorus. It's an important thing that has happened for years, and it's happening more and more now, and even in smaller cities, as we already pointed out.
Fantastic. Well, thank you all for being here. I want to, before we leave, I have to let people know about our 10th anniversary party. We finally set the date. We got the place. It's Wednesday, April 29th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Oasis. I'm telling you, Marilyn Pittman and I have made it for 10 years, a decade of producing out in the Bay. So join us to celebrate Wednesday, April 29th, 5 to 8 p.m. at Oasis Nightclub and Cabaret. You'll be entertained by the SF Gay Men's Chorus Ensemble, the Lollipop Guild, and another performer or two to be named soon. Check our website for updates. And you can see Out in the Bay being taped. We'll be recording a show featuring audio clips and backstories from our all-time favorite Out in the Bay shows. Updated info and a link to tickets is on our website, outinthebay.com. Look for the feature on our homepage. It will be our first time taping a show in front of a live audience, and it should be interesting. So fasten your seatbelts for a bumpy night and join us in making history. Doors open at 5 o'clock. Program starts at 6. Get there on the early side to nosh on delicious Middle Eastern finger food, graciously donated by La Mediterranee. Thank you, La Med, and thank you, Lollipop Guild. That's Wednesday, April 29th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Oasis Nightclub and Cabaret in San Francisco. Join us. Info and tickets at outinthebay.com. While you're there, hear past episodes, sign up for free podcasts, and hit the subscribe tab for party and show updates. That's outinthebay.com. Now, as we go out this evening, instead of our usual theme music, we're going to be playing a piece from the Oakland East Bay Gay Men's Chorus. It's not one of the ones
actually,
that you're going to be performing on April 18th and 19th. So
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's Seize the Day. It's from Newsies, which is music was actually written for the movie, but then they turned it into a stage show, and it's going to be fun.
Okay, great. And so that's April 18th and 19th. I do want to give a quick mention. Lesbian and Gay Chorus of San Francisco also has shows Sunday, April 18th. Excuse me, 18th and 19th, Saturday and Sunday. And their show is Guns N' Roses, Songs of War and Peace. We'll have a link to that on our website as well. You've been listening to Out in the Bay. Let's bring up Seize the Day from the Oakland East Bay Gay Men's Chorus. Thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.